research into sales success and buyer decision making shows that the buyer today is making their decision based on very different criteria. In fact, one of the key factors that they're making their decision on is their experience with the salesperson.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to another great episode of the Sales Evangelist Podcast. I'm your host, Donald Kelly, the Sales Evangelist, and I'm so excited for another great episode today. We actually have an amazing guest on the show today, Miss Jill Conrath, and we'll go ahead and talk about Jill in a second. But as always, thank you for the shout out, for telling the world and evangelizing about the Sales Evangelist Podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. To the new listener out there, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come out and listen to this podcast. I want to thank you for just being so excited for the show. This show is designed to help sellers perform at a top performer status. We interview top sales and marketing experts from around the world who bring their tips, their advice, their training that you can apply today and see a difference with. Now, speaking of guests, today on the show is Jill Conrath, and Jill she's an amazing speaker. She's an amazing trainer, and she's a sales thought leader. Jill has authored several books. The latest is actually called Agile Selling. Prior to that, she wrote Snap Selling, which was a number one Amazon bestseller, and also Selling to Big Companies, which was a Fortune magazine must read. She knows what she's talking about. She shares practical advice and things that you can apply. My wife, who's not even in sales, loves the content that Jill shares. And we actually was listening to one of her books before we invited Jill to come on a show. And, you know, we just knew that the stuff that she shared with us definitely helped us a lot. And I know that it will definitely help you as well. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into the episode with Jill Conrath. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Thank you for having me, Donald. It's really good to be here today.
Awesome. I'm thankful for that you're here. My wife and I listened to one of your books. She's not into sales, and several months ago, and I told her, Jill would be so awesome to have on a podcast, because she was eating up everything that you were sharing, and it was really cool. So I was like, I got to get Jill on a podcast. My wife is probably listening to this episode. I love it.
So she likes sales stuff, huh? She doesn't like it, but she liked mine.
Yeah, you know, she's not a seller. But she loves it, and she has to live with a seller. So
yeah, that's a real challenge, isn't it?
I know. Well, Jill, speaking about that, about selling, something I ask all my guests is to tell me about your coolest sales experience where you were the customer.
You know, you told me you were going to ask me that, and it was an interesting thing to actually think about, because when I did, two thoughts popped into my mind, and one was back about 10 years ago, and I had just launched my website, and I had some ideas for something else that I wanted to do along the lines for a future website. And I was contacted by the son of a friend of mine who was a web developer. He contacted me. It's like, oh my God, I do not want to work with my friend's son. You know, her 22-year-old son was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. And so he wrote me an email, and I didn't respond. And then he wrote me another email, and I wrote them as nice. I just launched this other website. I'm totally happy. Thanks, but go away, you know, type of email. And then he wrote me a third email, and I wrote back another nice rejection notice to him, you know, and I did respond to him because he was the son of a friend. And then he wrote an email that just stopped me in my tracks. He wrote, Jill, I've been trying to get a hold of you the regular way. I just want to tell you, I've spent several hours on your website, and I have some ideas that I think can, you know, make a big difference in the kind of results you're getting. You know, here's one, here's another one. Let's set up a time to talk, and I can share the other ones with you.
Ooh.
And I looked at his ideas, and he actually sent me a screenshot of some of the things he'd do differently. You know, he actually recreated some things and changed it around. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my goodness, he's thinking for me. You know, usually when I hire people, I have to tell them what to do. And instead, he was coming to me with some very specific ideas on how I could improve and get better results. And I totally paid attention to him. And I didn't hire him to work on my current website, but I did have this other project I was launching at the time, and I hired him to take care of that. So he got work out of it, And I took notice of him because he invested time learning about me and doing his homework prior to reaching out. And that made a huge impact on me.
That is very, very interesting, because I think what, in one of your books too, a lot of sellers, you've mentioned this before, they tend to have a one-sided idea where they want to get their agenda across, but not
yes.
necessarily what's in the best benefit for the actual prospect or the buyer. And I thought that was really cool. So I appreciate that thought. That's a very good one.
Yeah, that was, to me, it was really a profound shift in noticing my own behavior as a buyer too. I mean, noticing what caught and captured my attention really made a difference to what I even teach today. I mean, it was a real radical shift in my thinking in terms of what it took to get the attention of a busy person.
Very true. Now, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, then the other one that popped into my mind was when I went with my husband and we met a new financial planner that we were starting to work with. My husband had met with him once, and I went to the secondary meeting. And I walked into that meeting, and that gentleman pulled out an agenda and showed us what we were going to talk about today. and he said, I know you're coming in. We've got about an hour. I just want to share with you what I think would be the best use of our time today. We'll start here. We'll do this, this and that. And I kind of outlined the day. And then he outlined our time together. And then he walked into asking some questions. And then we followed the schedule. And it was funny because I felt like I was in the hands of a master. Mm. Does that make sense? I mean, here I was. I felt like I was being cradled by a master. Here, Jill, you don't understand financial services, and you don't understand how to make the best use of your money, but I do. And I want to show you what is, here are the things I look at. We're going to take a look at your changing situation. We're going to analyze your current existing financials. We're going to talk about your existing investments and my perspective on what you should be doing. And then I'd like to share with you some other ideas I have. And there are a lot of people that may have that plan in mind, but when he actually laid it out for me at the beginning, I relaxed into his hands. It's like, okay, you know what you're doing. You've done this. I will let you lead me. And I gave him control totally, as opposed to being on edge. So it was really an epiphany for me too, how it feels to be in the hand of a master.
And what I love, that the concept too, it provides the fact that, one, you're confident in him, and two, you mentioned that you were relaxed, and which means that you didn't need to be on edge. You didn't need to ask those questions to try to, figure out, is this guy really know what he's doing or whatnot. It just provided for a really, really meaningful conversation, and I'm sure you got a lot done out of that meeting than you would have if you didn't, where you had to have two meetings, because first meeting was to size them up, and then second meeting was now let's talk. So
right. I mean, he got right into it, and he made me feel like he knew, he had done this 100 times, and I was not the new kid on the block. He was here to help me, and he understood how to do it. And I literally relaxed into his care, which isn't that something we all want?
Yeah.
When we're selling, we want our customers to trust us so much that they listen to what we say, and they know where to guide us to next. I mean, none of us are experts on anything, everything. And so we have to rely on other people's expertise. And he showed me his expertise from the get-go. And then I trusted him.
That is awesome. Well, I appreciate that. I think that'll be some great advice that I'll put into our show notes as well, so listeners can get access to that.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking about great advice, you have written several books. You are you're just an expert, I think, in sales. And your latest book proves it as well. Do you mind telling us about it? It's called The Agile Selling. Why don't you give us a little bit more detail about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting book because it's very different from my first two, which are Selling to Big Companies, which is really about how to set up meetings with corporate decision makers. And my second book is how to deal effectively with crazy busy buyers, mm-hmm. Who are, hard to capture their attention and hard to keep it once you've got it. And I write books about challenges that I see. And one of the biggest challenges that I see right now is how difficult it is to stay on top of everything. And actually, after Snap Selling came out, people said to me, this book is so helpful. I'm really figuring out how to work with crazy busy buyers. But Jill, I'm crazy busy too, you know, and what can you do for me? And at first I thought, well, I am not a time management expert. You know, that's not my strength. Now, the more I thought about it, the more I kept hearing it. And the more I kept seeing all the stuff that people had to learn and keep up to date on, I went, oh my goodness, of all the things I am that I've never even recognized about myself is that I am a rapid learner. I know how to help people learn new stuff faster. Mm-hmm. And that is a skill. It's a meta skill. And so agile selling is really about how to get up to speed on anything sales related as fast as humanly possible so you can be effective in your job. And it's about the mindset and the skills and the discipline of being an agile learner so you can be highly relevant to your prospects and customers.
And I feel that that is so key, especially in a changing environment. It's a changing world. I think there's a lot of things in our society and in our world in the past 10, 15 years that has definitely changed a lot. And I think that concept is very important, especially to me as a seller. The question I really have is, why is it so vital for sellers to understand buyers these days, and how do you recommend we do so?
Well, to me, understanding buyers is the missing link. And in so many people in companies, when they're brought on board or when they work for the companies, they're told that it's about their product and service. And they actually believe that when buyers make decisions, they make their decisions based on the product or service itself or the company that they're doing business with or the brand or the pricing. But research into sales success and buyer decision making shows that the buyer today is making their decision based on very different criteria. In fact, one of the key factors that they're making their decision on is their experience with the salesperson. Isn't that interesting? Their experience with the salesperson. So if they are looking at doing something different, if a salesperson, you know, comes in and has ideas for them or shows them some things that they didn't know, or helps them make some suggestions to help them achieve their objectives, their respect for that person and their credibility of that person are huge compared to somebody else who's talking about their stuff. Let me tell you about what our company can do. Let me show you, you know, let me give you a demo. Let me do a PowerPoint on what our company does. They're making their decision on what it's like to actually work with you, and they have choices, and they know they have choices. And so if you think about it, the more you know about your buyer and what's on their mind, what they're trying to achieve, what plans they might have in place right now to achieve their objectives, what obstacles and challenges they run into, you know, the processes that they're using, the financial metrics that are important. I mean, the more you know about their buyer, the more you can come to them with the ideas, insights, and information that they need in order to effectively do their job and meet their objectives.
And I like the fact that you mentioned their objectives and also their, I guess, their like financial metrics and different things of that nature. It's just better understanding the actual the situation and getting a better grasp of it. Now, your book is broken up into several different sections. Do you mind explaining those sections to us, parts?
Okay, sure. The first part is really about the need to be agile. And that's, you know, kind of what we talked about, how important it is with all the changes that are going on. And it's important not just for people who are new in selling, but it's crucially important for those who are long-term sellers, because the reality of it is most people are on cruise control these days. And research shows that even within 3 weeks of being in a new job, salespeople will have the way that they work with people. So we have a huge group of salespeople out there who are doing what they've been doing for many years, but seeing, you know, less and less results. And so the need to change and learn more information about the buyer, their market, their world, you know, all that kind of stuff is huge. And a lot of salespeople haven't grown or changed and done anything. So the first part is on the imperative for being agile, for learning and constantly learning and growing. And then I talk about the mindsets of an agile seller, because an agile seller thinks differently than everybody else who's out there. The next thing, which I spend a lot of time on, is how to pick up new information fast. Because to me, the faster you can learn stuff, the more quickly you'll be productive, you know, getting results, as opposed to swirling around. And by the way, most of us really kind of suck at learning stuff because we we don't know how to. Nobody ever told us that there was a way. I mean, look at people's study habits when they're kids, you know, I mean, it's not awful. But it goes into adulthood, and we take those study habits with us, and we are not good learners. And then the next section is how to pick up skills fast, because learning skills is different from learning learning stuff, learning information. And then finally, I talk about the habits. What are they doing? What are some of the things that they're physically doing differently on a daily basis that that makes the difference? So those are the sections of the book.
Now, going back to one of the things you mentioned a little bit ago about, again, you set it up where you shared why you did this, wrote this book, and you went into details about that. Then you went into also helping us understand the importance of the seller understanding. Now, I guess as a seller, if I was that person who is so busy and who is so frustrated, what's some of the main advice that you would give to me that comes from your book to be able to, I guess, better position my time to be this ideal seller? That makes sense.
Well, the first thing I suggest that you do, if you're an experienced sales pro, is that what you're talking about, an experienced pro? I would take a look at where I was running into bottlenecks, where things were slowing down for me, where was I struggling? Mm-hmm. For example, was I not getting enough meetings set up? That's a whole area of study. Or you could take a look at another area of study might be initial meetings converting into second meetings. Because the research shows, by the way, that executives, and I'll just talk about executives as buyers right now, say that very few of the salespeople who call on them are prepared for the meeting. And I think it's like they believe that less than 15% are prepared for the meeting, and only 7% of executives will schedule follow-up meetings with the person that they met with. So there's a huge failure rate from first meeting to follow-up. And again, you know, if you're being honest with yourself, where are you running into trouble? You know, are they not calling you back after that first meeting, or do they sound interested, but then it just sort of goes nowhere? And the real question becomes, where am I running into bottlenecks? Where are things slowing down? And it's about being honest with yourself, and then stepping back and saying, okay, here's where I'm having trouble. There are better ways out there. I personally have the ability to get better and to fine tune my skills, but I don't know stuff. So you have to say, well, what don't I know? What could be getting in the way? Which sends you into a research project. I mean, that's the reality is now you have to become inquisitive, and you have to say, well, what are all the things that could be impacting my ability to get in the door? What are all the things that could be impacting? And you have to analyze it, and then you have to figure out where there's some shortfalls and where you might need some more knowledge. So it's about being ruthless with yourself. The net of it is it takes time at first, and it's uncomfortable. And when you learn new things, you're out of your bailiwick for a while and you feel unsure of yourself, which you don't like. But the reality of it is if you don't do it, everything will get harder in the future because our buyers are so discriminating.
And that is so true with the changing market and changing atmosphere. People are a lot more educated on, I guess, before you actually meet with them too.
Yes.
So you got to be prepared for that. Now
you have to. It changes everything. So, I mean, by the time you meet with them, they've gone to your website. They've checked things out. They've looked you up on LinkedIn. You know, I mean, they know a whole lot. And so you go in there and you ask stupid questions. You know, they don't like that.
Yeah.
They don't like it. So, I mean, what essentially, if you're having trouble on initial meetings, the conversion, you really need to do some analysis on what's changing and how you might need to change your meeting to have a more effective meeting and to have a different conversation with the buyer today than you had before, which, by the way, means you might have to understand more about your buyer and the marketplace and the trends, all those kind of things.
And it goes back to your example at the beginning, that website individual, maybe he didn't study how to be a sales professional for years, but he understood that what are some of your key objectives? Obviously, you have a website you're trying to convert, and he recognized that's a key indicator for you. So therefore, he looked at what can I do to her site to entice her to see that I can help her convert more. So he did do a lot of homework on that. And I think that's... Go ahead.
Yes, he did homework, and he did hone in on what was important to me. He did not talk at all about the beauty of the site or putting a new logo on it and how that would make a job. He talked about conversion ratios and getting people to sign up and stickiness, you know, for staying on my site. And he had different suggestions that were certainly of interest to me at that point, based on what I was trying to accomplish, not anything else.
Yeah, I just thought that example was great. I loved it. And in part 5 of your book, I know I'm skipping around there a little bit. And listeners, I highly recommend that you check out her book, and I'll put some information in the show notes. We just don't have enough time to go through the whole book in this interview, but it's a really great product for you to take and to apply to your careers. But borrowing a brain, what do you mean by borrowing a brain?
Oh, it's one of my favorite all-time strategies. And it's one I stumbled into. There are times in our life when we really don't know how to do certain things. And sometimes it's really like all too frequent. You know, we don't know how to think a different way because our own experience and knowledge base doesn't give us what we need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the first time I borrowed a brain, I mean, I felt so stupid doing it. I was actually a new sales rep, and I'd been training under this wonderful guy who, I mean, I thought he was God. His name was Jim Farrell. And he was so good with his customers. They just loved him to death, and he was a top rep. And then I was out on my own, and I got asked a question by a customer, and I was stumped. I was stumped. I mean, Jill Conrad did not have the ability to answer that question sufficiently. And in a panic mode, I thought to myself, well, what would Jim Farrell do in this situation? And suddenly, by asking that question, I got a whole new idea. Well, Jim would handle it this way. I was like, holy buckets. I mean, here it is. I don't even know how to handle it, but just by changing it and say, what would Jim Farrell do? I could tell what Jim Farrell would do in that situation. And so I just did what Jim Farrell would do, and it worked. And that was the first time I discovered that I could borrow somebody else's brain. And I didn't even have to, the truth is I didn't even have to know them well. You know, I mean, I could look at some situations and I could say, oh dear, I wouldn't get this, but you could even borrow like an engineer's brain. Okay, I'm talking to an engineer. How would an engineer think about this situation? Mm-hmm. And by asking that question, I could borrow an engineer's brain, and the engineer would say, look at what I was saying, and would go, what's the proof? You know, because engineers always want to know what's the proof. And so then I go, oh my God, I have to put proof in here. You know, and so it's funny just because if you borrow somebody else's brain, your own brain expands its capability to come up with new options. And that's the beauty of this. You know, if you say, how would Steve Jobs look at this? Or how would, you know, our top seller look at this? Or how would our CFO look at this? You know, if I borrowed my CFO's brain, what would he say I should be doing?
Mm. Well, I'm going to borrow Jill's brain.
You know, let me just tell you, I have some clients who, when they get stuck, they say to themselves, what would Jill suggest? What would Jill do in this situation? And they get different answers than what they would normally do.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah. You do that?
I did it too. Yeah, I really did. I realizing it now, not realizing the concept was borrowing your brain. But when my wife and I listened to the first book, the first book, Snap Selling, it wasn't your first book, but that was first book for us. It definitely did open my mind a lot. And it gave me that concept to start thinking more. If I'm going into this call, what more can I have? And I remember you talked about some of your Xerox experience and different companies you work for, and how when you met with some of these individuals, what you did. And thinking about those metrics, I know you love using that term, and that's exactly what I did with one of my calls. I realized that what they were trying to do, I found out some information on their website regarding some changes that they made, and I saw how our product can assist them because we've helped other people in those areas. So based on those metrics and objectives that he did, I just thought like Jill, and I sent the information out to him, and it was a lot better than if I did it the old way. So it was really cool.
Well, that's fun to hear. So you borrowed my brain, and what would Jill do? And it gave you options that you hadn't done before. You know, yeah. And that's the whole beauty of the borrow a brain strategy, that it really is highly effective.
Yeah.
I mean, I still use it to this day. You know, I just used it the other day when I was talking to Salesforce.com about something. And I mean, I won't go into the situation because it's, you know, it's offline right now, the situation, but I had to think like another person in order to effectively deal with the situation. And the potential opportunity, I had to channel a different person. You know, what would this person do in my mind?
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. I like that concept a lot, Jill. So, and definitely just successful. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Now, I want to kind of wrap up a little bit here, but one of the things I wanted to learn was how has these principles from your book helped clients? Like, I just gave my personal experience from reading the other book, but this particular book, I'm sure you've seen some of your clients apply it and seen a difference. Do you mind sharing any success stories with us?
Well, I just got an email from somebody who was a new rep for a company, and his boss is somebody who I had given the book to preview, to write a blurb for the book. Mm-hmm. And so she gave it to her new hire sales rep to read. She said, I'm going to test it out, Jill. And he actually wrote me an email telling how much it had impacted him in his first few months on the job and thanking me. And so I wrote back and I said, well, tell me, Kyle, how did it help you? Be more specific with me. And so he went through 10 different things that the book had done for him in terms of helping to focus on the getting better goals as opposed to the performance goals, helping him to feel comfortable asking the stupid questions so he could learn things faster. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a chapter called like Get Over Yourself, you know, and typically when people are new in a job, they want to, you know, they want to shine and have the person think that they made a good decision hiring them. So they don't like to ask questions or look stupid, except, you know, your first 90 days in a job are your grace period. You know, it's where you're really allowed to ask stupid questions and people want you to. And he just told me how much he learned about the buyer and how his calls that he was making were just at a such deeper, richer level that he was experiencing success much faster than they had projected.
That is very cool. And so it's almost like, in a sense, it was a jump start for him because now he didn't have to go through the school or hard knock. In a sense, he borrowed your brain from reading your book.
He did. He borrowed the brain. He used it, you know, to get up to speed. I mean, you know, one of the real applications for the book is for anybody who's new in a sales position, not necessarily a new sales guy or gal, but somebody who's taken a new job. I mean, that's certainly one application. Another big application is for people who are launching a new product or service. And everybody's company is doing that at different times. So there's some really good strengths in there for how to do that. And there's a lot in there for the experienced pros. That's what's, to me, been the most fascinating, because I've gotten emails, and the book has only been out, you know, for a week right now, but I've gotten emails from people who bought it right away and said, oh my God, you just shifted my thinking entirely on this. I totally get how it's going to make a difference.
That is awesome. I'll make sure we'll get some more, put some of that stuff in the show notes, because I think that would appeal very well to my audience. A lot of folks who I've interacted with are new to different sales positions. And one of the things I love about your books is that not only you don't teach like only theoretical things, you teach practical ways to apply those. And I think that's very helpful no matter who you are, what level of the spectrum in your experience.
Yeah. So. I'm always practical. You know, it's like it's like, why write a book if you're not going to get something that you can use from it? And so like every single chapter of my book has stuff you can use right now. Yeah. I can't not write like that, you know?
Yeah, is that sometimes I read books and it just feels like, you know, that was really nice, rainbow and fluffy, and it's like, well, what do I do from here?
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah. I spent a week doing that, reading this book. So, but I love the fact that you have those details. Now, tell us, what's one advice you want listeners who listen to this podcast today walk away with from our discussion?
I really want them to know that they are the differentiator. I mean, and their ability to learn fast is crucial to their success. People don't realize that, like I said earlier, that it's really about them. And it's about not just being nice and developing relationships, it's about them being idea people who are constantly helping and focused on helping their customers achieve their objectives and bringing them ideas, insights, and information. That's what matters today. And in order to do that successfully, you got to learn how to learn fast, you know?
Yeah.
It's crucial.
I like it. And then also, where can we find your book?
Everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah, I mean, most people are buying books on Amazon these days. So, you know, it's on Amazon, it's Kindle version, audio version, yeah, hardcover version. So it's out there.
Okay.
Plus, it's, you know, should be at Barnes & Noble and most of the major bookstores. It won't be in a lot of the indies because they don't specialize on business books.
Yeah. Now, besides a book, what are some of the other projects you're working on? You mentioned Salesforce or something going there.
Oh, you know, I do a lot of speaking. To me, that's one of the ways to spread my message. And so I speak at a lot of sales conferences. And, you know, when companies have sales kickoff meetings and things like that, that's one of the things I do. And I'm also always working on new ways to share these ideas with people. You know, I'm constantly thinking about them, thinking about doing a podcast, you know, like I said earlier, and how to move into that world. I don't know. I'm always thinking about ways to do more things.
Well, one of the things I like about you, again, is the fact that when you do something, you do it well. So I don't have any doubt that whatever you'll do will be perfectly fine. So
yeah, and you know, it's hard, you know, because I'm just launching this baby right now. So, you know, getting this message out to the world is really important to me. But already in the back of my mind, I have two other books that are cooking, you know, and it's like, oh God, Jill, slow down. You know? Slow down. And then I go, oh, I can't slow down. I just want this out to help people right now.
You're just so agile. That's what it is.
Yeah, right. I know. Ah, well, you know, the more agile you are, the more agile you get. And it's even funny because it seems like when you launch a book called Agile Selling, that the universe comes at you and says, "Okay, Jill, you're talking about being agile. Let's make sure you're agile right now too." And so, so as I'm launching the book, you know, this is my big month, and my husband has to have surgery and he comes desperately ill after his surgery with things. So I throw up my book launch. I go, okay, well, we'll live with this and we'll figure out that. And then the guy I hired to work with me on the book launch, I have to fire him because he's not doing his job. And then my computer starts giving me problems and I can barely get online. And I'm going, well, this is sure testing my agility. You know, how are we doing, Joe? Are you finding new ways to do what you had to do? You know, and it's like, I could sink into the fact that I've had all these problems, or mm-hmm. I can say, well, this is a new challenge. How are we going to handle this? You know, what are you learning and how can you take it and grow from it? Which is I'm having to live my own message. Mm. Right now, as we speak, and it's really kind of, I don't know, it's fortuitous. I mean, I really feel like it's part of the plan, you know, that I have to live my message as I'm giving it.
Yes. And I just think that it's an important principle, it's an important concept, and this book is very exciting from all the different chapters and different sections that are there. And I'm sure it's going to help all of us to become more like Jill.
Well, you don't have to always borrow my book. There's a lot of good brains out there to borrow. So thanks for interviewing me, though. I really appreciate you giving me a chance to spread the word.
No problem. What's the best way to stay in touch with you, Jill, if the audience want to connect with you?
JillConrath.com, and that's Conrath with a K, mm-hmm. JillConrath. .com. But let me just say too that I have tons of free resources on my website too. And anybody who's listening in should go to my resources section, because a lot of the how-to stuff is there in easy to access ebooks, videos, and stuff, and it's all free.
Sweet. That's really good. I've been on there and I've played with some of the stuff, so it's awesome. I highly recommend it. I'll put the, again, link back to that so folks can get access to that stuff when they go to our website. So, awesome. Well, Jill, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Truly my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
I told you it was going to be a great episode. Jill shared some awesome information that you can find in her new book, Agile Selling. I actually have that in our show notes. You can find it at thesalesevangelist.com, episode number 68. Again, that's episode number 68, and it's Learn How to Become an Agile Seller with Jill Conrath. Everywhere that books are sold, you can find her book. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it at Barnes & Noble. You can find it anywhere. So go ahead and check it out. Most importantly, I want you to apply these things. I want you to see a difference. I want you to become that top performer you desire to be. And I want you to help your company, your business, to perform at a higher level. I know it can happen because it's definitely helped me and it's helped so many other of our listeners. And I know it can definitely help you as well. Most importantly, I want you to go out and do big things.